Sometimes Shiva is referred to as Maheshvara. In Maheshvara, is in the East Indian tradition again, is the most exalted of all gods. It's another name for Shiva. And it says Maheshvara is the coordination of three energies from which knowledge arises, and I'll just mention them. What's called J-N-A-N-A, Jnana, the power of understanding. So that's one energy involved in Maheshvara. Then there's what's called Ichha, I-C-C-H-A, which is pure will. Pure will. And then there's Kriya, which is creative action. And those three together are metaphysically speaking prior to the existence of what's called I am I consciousness. And if one wonders, well, what's I am I consciousness? It's what's indicated to Moses when he asks the burning bush who it is that's talking to him, and the answer is I am. That I am. I am I. So he's talking to Moses. That's I am I consciousness. We're all capable of experiencing it. But not to the extent that we're thinking I am George. You know, or I'm a scholar, or I'm a failure, or I'm brilliant. Subtract all that and just get the I. That's a state of consciousness that's, if glimpsed, even for a few moments, one will never be the same again. Even if it just goes away, you'll never be the same again, because when you catch yourself saying, oh, I'm thinking, oh, I'm George or I'm Mary, you'll know better. Now, I am I consciousness is also called in the Blavatsky's main work, The Secret Doctrine. This I am I consciousness is also called, referred to as the self-analyzing reflection. The self-analyzing reflection. At an abstract level. At a more concrete level, a lower level expression of the self-analyzing reflection is our daily ability to be conscious of ourselves. Self-consciousness. But unfortunately, we're conscious of ourselves as X or Y rather than as I am I. And Ramana Maharshi, who was perhaps the wisest, or certainly one of the few wisest men in 20th century India, if you read his writings or the accounts of questions and answers of people who came to him, so over and over, someone might ask him, well, what does this particular passage in the Bhagavad Gita mean? And very frequently his answer would be, consider who's asking the question. Ask yourself, who am I? Who's asking this question? So rather than answer their question, what's this passage in the Bhagavad Gita mean? His answer would be, ask yourself, who am I? Just keep asking yourself, who am I? You can do it in the car. You can do it while you're walking down the street. You don't have to set aside like a special time in the day to do it for 20 minutes. It's portable. And if a person keeps asking, who am I? I've been told. You know, not in some so-called spiritual setting or condition or way. If a person keeps asking, who am I, I'm told, inside their mind, at a certain point, rather than me asking me, who am I, it turns into something else asking me, who am I? And then a person's on their way. So given this I am I consciousness, which is the answer to the question, who am I, there's this quotation. One can think of the cosmos as manifesting through Maheshvara, Shiva. Cosmos as manifesting through Maheshvara in terms of thought evolving into speech. Thought evolving into speech. From the silence without thought, which is Ananda. So from the silence without thought, which is Ananda, which means bliss, thought emerges, evolving into speech. So from bliss comes speech. From bliss comes thought, comes speech. In speech, the highest level of speech here would be the first sentence in the book of John in the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word. That's speech. So from the silence without thought, Ananda, comes thought, which evolves into speech. Now, by analogy, or correspondence, this abstract metaphysical idea applies to each of us as individuals. From the silence without thought, of which we're probably not aware, in ourselves, comes thought, and we all know what that is. So we all have our thoughts. That comes from the silence without speech part of us. It's bliss. So from our bliss, of which we're largely unaware, comes thought, and then from thought comes speech. I mean, we talk to one another about what we're thinking, or even about sometimes not what we're thinking, but we're talking about them nonetheless, about what we're thinking, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about it. So if you don't want to know what somebody's thinking, just listen to them. Now if they think they're thinking something else, they've got a big shock coming someday. All right, so from the silence without thought, which is Ananda, comes thought and then speech. From speech comes the buddhic perception of vijnana. Now we're talking metaphysically again. So from speech comes a buddhic perception. Buddhic perception is often translated as a spiritual intuition. So from speech comes spiritual intuition. If I understand the spoken words, which in this case are written down, in the beginning was the Word, if I understand that speech, or put it differently, if I realize what that's saying, then I'm having a buddhic perception, a spiritual intuition. From the buddhic perception comes what they call mana, M-A-N-A, which gets one letter added to it in Sanskrit, S, which is manas, which means mind.